Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Welcome back, Brian Mitchell Show. Scotty, what stood out to you, brother?
The excellent news on his health front, first and foremost. You know, we listen, we criticize, we do all this other, but that never once has anybody veered off the road of rooting for Ron in his personal fight or anything like that. And I was glad that Michael Phillips started out and said, hey, you did say that your last treatment's coming up, and, you know, we have, a lot of us have relatives, a lot of us have personally fought. I don't speak from personal experience, but a lot of people are cancer fighters, cancer survivors. You got it in your house, you got it in your family, you got it in your extended family, you got it in your friend circle. You know what it's like. Mm-hmm. You know what it's like in trying to, you know, be there and support. And you know, everybody's done it from afar, and we've listened, and you hear it in his voice. When his voice gets a little thin, he gets a little fatigued, he gets a little tired. So it was great to hear him say, you know, John Keim asked him, you know, what surprises him mm-hmm. most about the series of treatments. He's like, man, nobody likes being nauseous, and it'll just, you'll be doing that. Anytime, anywhere, and, you know,
you have no control.
When they're pumping this stuff into you to fight and to make your, you know, you get as better as you can possibly be, and all of a sudden, not only do you have fatigue, not only does your voice go, not only are you sick to your stomach, you know, to the worst possible degree, but then all of a sudden, you don't have any balance either. And he mm-hmm. said, you know, he talked about the vertigo feeling. So just listen to his you know, personal anecdotes, and I'm sure that's obviously not the most graphic, not the most this, not the most that, but just to hear that he's almost done with treatments and doctors say that things are going well, B. Mitch, you know, has that not put a smile on anybody's face headed into the weekend?
Yeah, I think ultimately what a lot of people, we heard people say, well, why y'all so asking this and saying these things when somebody's going through it? It's very, very possible to do your job and still have a heart and be human. I think every time someone gets up there, you can't do your job thinking about, well, he's going through this. You do your job and you can still say a prayer. You can still mm-hmm. be pulling for. And I think that's the ultimate thing. I've seen the stuff online. I've heard people say, well, you know, he's going through this stuff. You got to be a little easier. Nuh-uh. He's still coaching. If he's still coaching, then you got to do your job. But everybody, I hope, let me say it like that, I hope everybody that does our job also has that humanistic side where you do feel for people. You want them to do well, you know, and then you move forward. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anyone in life have to stop doing your job because of what somebody else deals with. Because, hey, people deal with stuff every day. And if you're going to keep fighting, you want to be treated. Most people that are dealing with something wants to be treated what? Like everybody else. They don't want you to come in them having a pity party for them. But still, you can also have those good wishes and prayers and things of that nature, which works out. Because there's a football game still coming.
Absolutely. And you know, you've heard him talk about this, too, and how he, you know, he there were certain days where he had to cut it short. He did talk about his own personal schedule. It's like, and Bemidji, you can speak from personal experience with how long Andy Reid stayed in the building, or Lord Joe Gibbs sleeping in the building.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's,
not
Joe
going
Gibbs
home.
Made me
and,
not want to coach.
Right. I was going to say the stories that he tells about Pat, and you know, he's got a cot or he's got a bed, or she's like, "You coming home?" He goes, "Yeah, a couple days. You know, we got a game plan. We got to put this in." But then Ron said, "You know, a normal coach, you're here till 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night."
He That's said, just like being until 12.
Right. But he said, "I got to, you know, I'm hitting a wall at 5 o'clock." Now, you'll also have fans out there, and I'll read a tweet in a second from our friend Neil in Rockville, who tweeted us at BMitch Live NBCS at Scott Lynn 980. He says, look, with all due respect, and Neil is a dyed-in-the-wool burgundy and gold fan.
Definitely.
He is as hardcore as it gets. He says, with all due respect, if Ron can only put in the time until 5, he needs to take a leave until he can devote enough time to young players. Though more insightful was that he said they traditionally stay until 9 or 10, he needs to lead by example because, as he criticizes Dwayne in comparison to 11, he said, look, we fans will criticize Ron in comparison to a winning coach like Coach Joe, who demanded of himself and other coaches full dedication, including, as I just pointed out, Neil, great minds think alike, or at least my mind and yours did, including sleeping on the couch. Winning take team dedication at all levels, not just players. Is that too hardcore?
But I think he has been dedicated, you know, by being there.
And he's done.
And I think ultimately it's not his job to touch every person. That's why he hired people at certain positions, coaches, to be able to take the mindset he has to those players. Mm-hmm. You know, I like people to understand that Coach Gibbs is great, but Don Brough was the person giving me most of the message and the person teaching me along the way. Yes, Coach Gibbs had conversation with, but Coach Gibbs wasn't the one walking me along the way the whole time. Don Brough did. And then when Norv got here, it was Bobby Jackson. You know what I mean? You go through different levels of people, but I know the head coach gets it, but the head coach is not doing the whole job. Just like when your general manager at your job or your CEO at your job comes into a meeting, he meets with all the managers first. He gives them their marching orders. Then they go in with their segments, and they call you into a meeting. Now they're the ones that's going to be touching you and talking to you on a regular basis. It's the same thing in football.
Mm-hmm.
So Ron Rivera at the beginning set up a plan with coaches, and I think he hired people that he trusts and believes in. Now, as we look at it, some of the things haven't reached fruition, we would say, based off of how things have transpired. But I think he's dedicated. And I think players, for one, see him fighting to be there. That makes a world of difference.
Mm-hmm. And this also goes back to Ron, you know, talking about the plan. And Jack Del Rio never really wants to talk about it, but it's there for a reason. And Del Rio's experience, long time successful player in this league, as well as a guy who's coached at different levels, including head coach, they have a built-in substitute teacher plan where this is, if Ron can't be here, and Ron has expressed sadness over, you know, I can't duck into a meeting room here and pass a note to somebody here. I mean, I get Neil's point, and I know that there are other people who feel that same way. He's done all he could. Has it been enough? If he was, and this is hypothetical, and it's probably not fair, but it should be asked, if he was 100% healthy, would they be different right now? Would they be at a different place in the standings? And I don't know if they would be.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, I think the assumption is that the head coach does everything. He doesn't. I watch Andy Reid, I watch Joe Gibbs in practices stand in one place until something was totally off. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that wasn't just a player screwing up. He's thinking that coach didn't get the damn message that I gave them properly. And I watch Andy go through a whole practice and wouldn't say a word because it was a damn good practice that day. Then I watch him go through practice where every other play he's trying to stop something. You're basically the overseer. Everybody has it. That running back coach teaches running backs. The receiver coach teaches running receivers. So they should be better at doing their job than anything else. So ultimately, I believe that where they are right now is where they will be. I don't know if his illness had anything to do with where they are. Guys got, because we've seen over and over again, coach gets sick, we talked about he's going to be fired, something happens with a player. Players play better for that guy at that moment, don't they?
Yes.
So,
yes.
And I would think that based off of him, a lot people love him, the team likes him very much, that they would have been playing better, if anything. Not worse.
No, and Ron also talked about this too. He loved, you know, was he bummed when he had to leave early or he felt like crap or they got out the golf cart or whatever? And he said, you know, hopefully in 3 to 4 weeks after that final treatment, he'll be back and better than he's been in a long time and able to, again, you know, he's already committing long hours, but he'll want to commit even longer hours. But he looked to his job to help fill a hole as best he could.
But think about it, though.
Lots of people who are undergoing that fight, they're like, "Give me, I want normalcy. I want books. I want to talk to my kids. Yeah. Don't alienate me and go, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?" He wants to coach. He talked about
this, though,
the game day experience. B. Mitch, he loves that.
Player has concussion. Player has injury. Player has problem off the field. What do fans say? I don't care. Get back to play.
Right. Yeah, suck it up.
So,
exactly.
Right now you have a man who's sucking it up. Why would that be a problem? Think about it. He's doing exactly what we expect players to do. Why is that a problem?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving another way to look at it. If I would expect my players to fight through stuff, I just lay it by example. Is it fair? Is it the right thing to do? Yes or no? We don't know. But you did it. And if I were to tell my player, I expect you to fight through stuff, that player can say, damn, coach did. You see what I'm saying? So he has a learning tool right there. And whether it's the right thing or not, I don't know. Let's take a quick break here. This is the Brian Mitchell Show. We'll be back.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
Hi, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show here with my man, Scott Lynn, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM. And for more information on registering to vote, go to news1.com/vote. That's news1.com/vote. Brought to you by Urban One and the Team 980 and 95.9. Represent the vote. Make your one vote count. We have the power to change the course of history. Make sure your voice is heard with your one vote. All right. As we get ready to keep continuing through the show, getting set up for this game coming up, Dallas versus Washington at FedEx Field, we want you to start dialing in 301-230-0980. I want to take a walk down memory lane here in a sense. I know we have people all ages that listen to this show and are fans of this football team. And I know there are people who've had some great memories, some bad memories, and people looking for those memories at this point. Younger fans, we're sorry. Just say it like that. We are sorry. But I want to hear from you all. Your greatest moment from this rivalry. I know a lot of people look at, you know, Santana Moss. Bang, bang. Double take there. You know, I go back, and it's personal for me. You know, I got a chance to be the starting running back. 1992? Yes, 1992.
You're not Richie, that old.
No, 92, 93. Richie Pettibone is the head coach. He's decided, I'm going to start Brian Mitchell. I scored 2 against Dallas. We win that football game. I was thrilled. I was happy as hell. Some guy called me and told me, you didn't do nothing. the line blocked for you. I'm like, dude, say what the hell you want to say. You're not taking away my damn thunder, my happiness. The hell with you, you know? So I will say this. That's one of my moments. I also could think back to Darryl Grant, you know, picking off the ball, going into the end zone, all right? LeVar Arrington hitting Troy Aikman. You know, all those different things begin to pop up to you. What is your biggest moment? We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to make sure we get those things. Already got the lines lit up. Lewis, TC, Dave, this is the Brian Mitchell Show with Scott. We'll be right back with you and get your greatest moments.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. Here with Scott Lynn. And now we're taking that walk down memory lane. And there have been many, many great moments in this historic rivalry. You know, I could think all the way back to when I was a young buck checking it out. You know, watching the Rigos and all those guys and the Tony Dorsett's and, you know, saying Roger Staubach. I was a little kid checking out this rivalry just like everybody else. And then became a part of it and was immediately emerged into it when I stepped in. And Mr. Monty Coleman, I was talking to Milton earlier today doing an interview with him. It was one of our chaplains back then. He was telling me about Monty. And I can tell you, Monty scared the living hell out of me, man. You know? Tell me about
how
after the third game, he said, you're not a rookie anymore. And I'm like, I thought you were a rookie for the whole year. No, you ready to play now. And you're looking at him, and his arm's bigger than your damn than your thighs. But he, mm-hmm. I remember when it got cold, when I had some sleeves on, and he walked up with some scissors. He said, we don't wear sleeves. Shows weakness.
Monty did this.
And I'm like, what do you mean? So he cut the sleeves and let them slide down to my like some wrist warmers.
Right. And like Belichick did to that guy in the Subway commercial.
You can wear them like that. And I'm like, okay. That was my last time wearing sleeves, but I learned.
I asked you this before. You and I are of the same age, and we
keep saying that,
you know,
Scotty, man. Stop telling me a little issue, man.
All right. Well, you know, when I was a rookie in the league in 1990, no, I'm kidding. We grew up. I mean, this rivalry's always been important, and it's not, you know, it is certainly not what it was. Totally understood. You know, we get that. But time was, you know, and I didn't grow up liking either one of these teams, obviously. One of them I hated and still do. But it was always must-see television because of the cast of characters. Whether it was Randy White on one side or Dexter or, you know, going back a little further and quarterbacks who you're like, this guy's going to come off the I'm never heard of him before. Fine. But, you know, growing up and not loving Roger Staubach, later learning to respect him and super nice man. But this was always, you know, whether it was Dallas B. Mitch with that when they all got up and they did the reset on the O-line, and you're like, God, I hate them for that. And it was just the little tiny things, flex and Coach Landry.
With the fedora.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's find out, Scotty. What do you see as your biggest or most proudest, most memorable moment of this big rivalry? Let's start off with Lewis. Lewis, what's going on, man?
Hey, gentlemen. Hope y'all are having a beautiful day. Do you want me to just speak on the memories, or can we speak keys to the game as well?
No, memories. We have memories right now.
Memories right now. I would say definitely the one that you touched in the beginning, B. Mitch, you know, Mark Brunell to Santana twice. Oh, man. For me personally, that was probably one of my greatest. There's probably a lot more I can't remember. And then of most recent, Bobby Three Sticks, his first Thanksgiving in 2012. That was such a good game. They whooped up on them, and everything just tasted a little bit better. The turkey and the stuff and everything just tasted that much better that day. So that was a good one for me, too. Thanksgiving 2012.
All right, man. Appreciate you, Lewis. Thanks very much, man. Let's go to TC. TC, your most memorable moment.
Man,
How y'all doing this evening, man?
Doing
I don't
well,
have
man.
Too much. You know, I told you I was that young buck earlier, you know what I mean? So, you know, at the end of the day, it's got to be for me, you know, coming out. You know, I was born in 78, so I ain't see too much. I can't speak on the different Super Bowls. I would say Doug Williams was a hell of a thing. But, yeah, again, that Santana Moss, Mark Brunell, for my era, was vicious. You know, and at the time, and just being honest, I was sitting over DC jail at the time and watching it. So that was, you know, a time in my life where I was going through some things at that time, and just to have the game and was able to stay out and watch them come back to win that with those two bombs was spectacular, man. And so and also the Sean Taylor hit on Michael Irvin.
All right, man. Appreciate you. I think it was T.O. T.O. Yeah, it was T.O. When Sean hit T.O., it wasn't Michael. Yeah, yeah. Because T.O. was known as Gator Arms after that. Let's go to Dave. What's up, Dave? How you doing, brother?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm 50, so I've been through a lot of the good times and a lot of the bad times. Number one, without a doubt, has got to be Dexter crushing Danny White in the championship game for me. That's probably going to be a lot of people's number one or my age bracket. One that has always been special to me is the Monday night game when Darryl Green ran down Tony Dorsett. I know he lost the game, but what a way to introduce yourself to the NFL. This little 5'8" guy, which they probably gave him 2 inches, to run down the guy that couldn't be caught. And one other is a little later when Sean Taylor blocked that field goal attempt.
Yeah.
And he got the ball and took off. And then there was like a 15-yard penalty, and we kicked the field goal, I think Novak, to win the game. But so much more what could have been with Taylor. It's so sad that guy has gone so early in life. Thank you for taking my call, guys.
Appreciate it, man. See, I was thinking about this because I know it starts bringing more stuff back. We don't remember every moment,
and people are,
but it brings stuff back.
Yeah, people are happy. I mean, and I didn't mean to bring up. I was like, and then there were quarterbacks who weren't supposed to do very much for the other side. I was thinking about Clint Longley, and dude that wasn't even supposed to play on the Dallas side, and that's a bad memory. But you only want the best, B. Mitch. That's what you want.
Hey, it goes. Let's go to Chris. Chris, what's up, man?
Yeah. I remember the game, December 22nd, 96. I got tickets for my friend Ted, and they were free. I grew up as a Browns fan, but I always wanted to go to a Redskins-Dallas game. He told me that he was a real fan. I believed him. We had great seats. He could not name one of the players on the team. On the team. I can remember some of the players, but what I do remember is that the Redskins had lost to the Cardinals a couple weeks ago, and that prevented North Turner from going to the playoffs. I got one more thing to add. That halftime show, the guy, my friend Ted, who bought the tickets, no, we're not going to stay and watch the show. We're going to go to halftime to go meet some friends, some girlfriends of his. So I never got to see the Hall of Fame players and the Hogs and everybody show up on the field. Let me tell you, that was a great memory, but that moment, as a Redskins fan, I would say, man, I could just wish I could trade that ticket with a real Redskins fan, look back at the history of that team.
Are y'all still
That's
friends?
My memory.
You're right. Are you still friends?
No longer my friend. Longer my friend.
All right, Chris. Take care, man.
We don't want to bury the lead.
All right. Hey, Brett, what's up, man?
What up, B Me?
What's happening, brother?
What's up with you, man? You know, I've been gone for a minute. This old skinny jeans, but man. Let me tell you, dog. That night, boy, in 2005, dog. That was my last year, boy, in college. When Santana caught that first touch, I was like, okay, we got something right here. But when he caught that second one, it felt like we won another Super Bowl. I was jumping around that apartment, and I raped all them boys from DC that love them Cowboys with that money. But hell to the W, dog.
All right, brother, appreciate it. Old skinny jeans. Let's go. All right. You know, this is going to be funny. No way, not yet. Let's go to Will. Will, what's going on, man?
Hello.
Will, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Will, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, this was the year that we won the last Super Bowl in 91,
mm-hmm.
Or the year after, and when Dallas won their Super Bowl. My dad's friend worked at RFK, and I was 13 at the time, and they got me into that game. And I remember he brought out a fold-out chair and sat me next to one of the rows, and that was the game where I think we were down by more than four, about less than a touchdown, and Dallas was backed up in their own end zone, and our defensive lineman, I think his name was Jason Buck, like hit Troy Aikman's hand. The ball fumbled. I think Emmett tried to pick it up, and he got just nailed at the goal line. Fumbled it. We recovered it. Touchdown. I mean, RFK was going crazy. It was my first time at RFK. I felt the stands going up and down. I mean, it was just pure pandemonium. And the cool thing about it, too, is that after the game, my dad's friend, he worked on the staff, so he gave me the staff jacket. I was 13 at the time, and right there I was there at the locker room, and I walked into the locker room, and I saw Joe Gibbs, like, giving an interview afterwards, and then this one guy, he looked at me and said, hey, what are you doing in here? And I got all scared, and then he, like, rushed me out of, out of the locker room. But I got pictures with Ricky Sanders after the game. I got Ernest Biner's autograph. I mean, it was just... I couldn't talk for a week afterwards. That was one of the greatest experiences I ever had in my life.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate your call.
That's a memory.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to get another side of it. Cowboy Don, what's up, man?
Hey, happy Friday, guys. What's up, B-Mitch?
Same to you, brother. Scotty. What's happening?
Hey, Don. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm all right, man. One of my favorites, the season opener, 1999, 21 points down. First play of overtime, Rocket Ishmael, wide open.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, how about that game?
I hated that game.
Then the year, I think it was 89, we were winless. We won one game. Who did we beat? Huh?
I don't remember. I can't remember because I haven't heard from you for a while, man, this year. Hey,
let me say one more thing. You had a guy call in and say, you guys won a Super Bowl. The last time... Y'all won the Super Bowl was before us. I think that it was 91, 92, your last Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think ours was 95.
Okay.
Right?
But you were picked to be in the Super Bowl like 10 times since then, and you've been in there.
Well, we always going to be picked.
You've been going there with me. You've been going there with me getting tickets.
But listen, we always going to be the ones to be picked, Mac, because we're the Cowboys.
Yeah, but so, you're not living up to your hype, though.
And let me say one more thing, B. See, y'all get so excited. Y'all will be so happy if you win this game Sunday. See, it wouldn't mean one thing to us.
Oh, yes, it would. Because y'all garbage right now. Come on, Don, be real.
Exactly, we are.
Y'all
we
garbage.
Are. I agree. That's why. But see, you guys would beat us at our worst. And be so happy. See, if we were beating y'all like that and half of your team was missing, it would mean nothing.
I don't think a half your team missing on defense. Your defense basically have everybody but one person.
Come on, B. No, we're missing more than one person.
No, not on defense, homeboy. Not on defense.
Yes, we are.
You better go check it out again.
Well, anyway, man. But listen, I can't wait until Monday because – y'all are so sure you're going to win this game.
You have not heard nobody say sure about winning this game. See, Don, your name is no longer Cowboy Don.
Today.
From now on, your name is Delirious Don. That's what we're going
to
start calling you.
Did you listen to Doc today?
You can't call my show telling me about what y'all said. If somebody else said it. In this show, you ain't hear nobody say no guarantee. We're going to start calling you Delirious Don. Take care, brother. Let's go to let's take a break here. We get back. We'll start off with Ghost. This is the Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn, Team 980. Don is delirious as hell. Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
Back on the Brian Mitchell Show on a Friday. Getting some of your all-time favorite, Dallas Washington, or, from the Dallas side. We're equal opportunity, B-Mitch. Time to talk a little gambling. Daily Sportsline brought to you by the DC Lottery's new sportsbook, Gambit DC. Gambit DC. Download today at GAMBETDC.com. Access spreads, moneyline, over-under, live in-game betting, all at your fingertips. It's Sports Beam Itch, only better. Maryland Northwestern, part of the college slate, opened at Northwestern minus 8. It's now up to Northwestern minus 11. Have some fun with that. Big Ten back at it tomorrow. Nebraska and Ohio State. The Ohio State is minus 26 in that one. UVA gets Miami. Is this the Canes lay 13.5? This one open at 10, and this is Saturday night as well. North Carolina, North Carolina State. North Carolina is minus 15.5, despite Florida State putting it on them last week. They get NC State. Hokies go to Wake Forest. Virginia Tech opened as a 7-point favorite. They are minus 10.5. Of course, we got baseball tonight, and that means World Series game number 3 between the LA Dodgers and, pardon me, the Tampa Bay Rays. 1-1, Walker Buehler, Charlie Morton. It is now down. It's trickling downwards. Dodgers minus 145, depending on where you shop. If you want to be on the Rays, go for it. They are plus 120, plus 135. Have a little fun. Do it smartly. Do it safely. Do it responsibly. Daily Sportsline brought to you by the DC Lottery's new sportsbook, Gambit DC. Gambit DC. Download today at GAMBETDC.com. Spreads, moneyline, over-under, live in-game betting, all at your fingertips. It's sports. Only better.
Phone calls. We are getting your favorite memory of the rivalry here, Dallas versus Washington. And please be a Cowboy fan from now on. Yeah, let's just say it like that. I mean, a Redskin fan. Washington fan.
Washington fan. I got you.
Let me get it right. All right, let's go to Ghost. What's up, Ghost? How you doing, man?
Yo, what's up, man? Hey, look, real quick, let me check this fool that just called in from under his boulder. He just climbed. Crawl from underneath the Cowboy Dumpster Don. Dumpster is dumb Mr. Merge together. Dude, our replacement team beat y'all sorry regulars who crossed the line that year. Sit down somewhere. Now, on the real, for the real tip, NFC Championship game, 1972. Yeah, I'm an old dude, whatever. Billy Kilmer killed it. You had the Cowboys talking about Billy Kilmer couldn't throw the football, all this crazy stuff. Y'all go back, rewind that, watch that. Kilmer threw two bombs to my main man, Charlie Taylor, as we beat Dallas 26-3. But, yeah, Dumpster Don, man, stay off El Sol, man.
All right, bro, appreciate you, man. Took it back there, didn't he? Go
yeah,
say
he
it.
Did.
Hell, let me tell y'all, I've been around for a long time. Al, what's happening, man?
Be Mick.
What's up, baby?
How you doing?
We're good. All right, sir.
Hey, my man, go tell you about 73. I'm going to tell you about 75 and 76 when Staubach was a Redskin killer. Him and Drew Pearce and Billy Joe Dupree, they beat y'all in 5 and 6 to 7 seconds or 6 to 7 seconds left on the game. You dig? It was never no time with Staubach. 5 to 6 to 7 seconds on the game. And then I'm going to tell you about the next one. Like my man Cowboy Don said, 89. We was 0-15, but the only team that we beat was the Redskins, V. Mitch. And then I'm going to tell you about the third game that everybody's talking about. The game up in Dallas. I was at the game, V. Mitch. But ain't nobody never say this. Everything, I mean, the whole stadium was hot, B. Mitch. I don't know what Jerry Jones did that day, bro. The stadium was hot, man. I think Jerry turned the heat on everything. And all the Redskins fans were quiet, B. Mitch, until Mark Brunell came there and threw that long ball to Santana Mall. The first one, the fans just jumped up and went crazy. I mean, the whole game, B. Mitch, they was quiet, baby. Then the second one, he came in, dropped the bomb again, and I ain't say a goddamn thing, B. Mitch. I was quiet. But all I got to say, man, thank you for taking my call. B&A Seafood, baby.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, man. See, even the Cowboy fans remember when Santana Moss came up there, killing it. Let's go to Rob in mm-hmm. Dallas. What's up, Rob? How you doing, man?
B. Mitch and Scotty, what's up, man? I got my favorite
you,
always, but I'm doing, man, I'm okay, but I wouldn't know why do we keep allowing that male groupie Cowboy Don to keep calling up to these shows, man. Hey, Cowboy Don, I live here in Dallas. Why don't you call one of these 12 radio stations they got down here? Boy, there ain't nobody listening to them anyway. to sit up here calling out state old cowboy darn. Take your you know what somewhere else, man. But here's what I want to tell you. My favorite memory, 1982. B-Miss, by the time you came along, man, I was expecting to beat some Cowboys. But that year, man, it was tense that week. We won Dallas, beat Dallas, and I know that hit by Dexter Manley was big, but I'm telling you, when Charlie Brown caught that 7 route in the end zone on his stomach, I breathed for the first time that week. I started crying as a little kid. I was like, Dad, we going to do it. This was before my dad got mad at B-Miss. He was a Redskins fan then. Right there, I mean, I was jumping up and down, and of course, when my boy Grant ran into the end zone, that was bigger than the Super Bowl. But finally, man, that was the biggest moment to me. It's the only game that I still actually YouTube. Maybe that says something about my private life, but I still YouTube that game a whole lot just to see Joe Theismann hit that. And then you hear the backstory about how Ricky Pettibone flipped off the Dallas Cowboys coaching staff right after the national anthem. Those were some great days, and God, I wish we could get them back again. That was my favorite memory. My second favorite memory would be the day that Cowboy Don is a complete memory from our radio station. The groupies, stay off our radio station. Later, guys.
All right, man, appreciate you.
See you later.
Oh, boy. So we got to take a break here. We're going to be back with it. Make sure you stay there. Craig, Jimmy, Paulie, Jonesy, and Carlos. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM.